Welcome, greetings, citizens of the multiverse, to episode 174 of the DC Comics News Podcast. I'm Steve, I'm in London, and with me are two giants of the nerd media journalism scene. First of all, we have the Amazon Princess of Power, Kelly Gaines.
Hello.
And the King of Couture, Brad Filicki.
Hey, everybody.
And we're here to talk, as always, DC Comics, movies, TV and streaming, comics, books, and always that little something extra at the end. But let's start with the films. And, well, we're now only weeks away from seeing The Fastest Man Alive and The Fastest Man Alive and Batman and Supergirl hit the big screen. And we've had our third trailer for The Flash. I liked it. What did you think, Kelly?
I actually did really like it. It keeps coming up as like the YouTube ad after all of the YouTube videos I watch. And I think I've watched it maybe 10 to 15 times now. And I actually don't skip it. It's a really great trailer. And I was skeptical. I mean, you guys know I was really, really skeptical about that movie. But I mean, you put Michael Keaton in front of me and I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm just sold, basically. I'm excited. What about you, Brad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely am. I love the Batman footage. And the internet seemed to explode with, he said the line. I was all over my feet. Like, and you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. I mean, that was, I think I cheered out loud when I saw it for the first time. And I think I was alone. So that was kind of weird. But yeah, this is the movie I'm looking forward to the most this year, I think. I absolutely can't wait. What about you, Steve?
Ditto. If there's one film I have to see upon pain of death on the big screen in 2023, it's The Flash. Not just because of Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck both coming in as Batman, but because of the Flash character himself. I mean, I know Ezra Miller needs untold amounts of help, but this movie looks to be incredible. I cannot wait. The visuals look astounding. The return of Michael Shannon as Zod. Sasha Gaye looks incredible as Supergirl. The visuals look great. The story sounds great. Based on Flashpoint, you can't really go wrong. And looking at the early responses, which we will talk about in our very, very soon to follow story, this film's gone down extremely well. So, yeah, absolutely cannot wait. So, yeah, on the same kind of news, we've seen two new posters as well as the trailer for the film. And these posters are gorgeous. What do you make of them, Kelly?
Oh, I really like them, especially that second one. The first one was nice, but that second one, there's the kind of the off in the distance, like angsty side posing going on, especially with Supergirl. And I love that. Like, that's if I could pose as like, if I could have taken my graduation pictures like that, that 100% would have been the look. Like, these, I'm pumped about this movie. And yeah, I didn't expect to be this pumped. So this, I'm hopeful. This is good. They look amazing. Brad?
Oh, yeah, you said exactly what I was going to say, that I like them both, but I like the second one a little better. I love the focus on the three of them. It's more and more this movie's coming, I mean, not just because we see more footage, but how everything is being presented. A little more of this movie is becoming clear, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing. This definitely feels like we're going to get more Batman than I was expecting, and for that matter, more Supergirl. When she was originally announced as a character, I thought she might just be more of a cameo type character, but I love the fact that she's going to be a major, major part of this. What about you, Steve?
Exactly what you both said. The first poster was your classic action shot, Flash running towards you and the characters in the background. And the second one's more the mood, the arty poster. And then they're both stunning. But like you said, I think it's looks like it's quite closely going to follow the Flashpoint saga, with Supergirl taking the place of Subject One, Superman locked up underground and not being allowed to see the sun and not having his full powers and his freedom. So it's going to be fascinating. And like we've already said, the posters and the trailers all look incredible. The first fan reactions are out now as well because of the advanced screening at MovieCon. And let's talk about some of these reactions, apart from one who there's always going to be the DC hater coming up with stuff like that. And a couple of things about the forced humor, which I'm sorry, Marvel's been guilty of for 20 years. But hey, let's talk about some of these reactions because some of them are interesting. And honestly, they've got me more hyped than ever. What did you make of them, Kelly?
I was surprised that there were as many positive as there were, because I feel like I'm so used to seeing negative reactions to DC movies lately. I'm so used to it being like, it didn't really do anything new, or it was just your standard superhero movie. But this one, I like especially the idea that it's a superhero back to the future. Like, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm really excited for that. And I mean, yeah, there's always going to be naysayers, but at least that wasn't the majority this time. Like, this to me sounds like, when's the last time we had a really, I mean, I loved the Batman, but even that had some big naysayers. So this is the first time in a while I think I've seen just almost across the board positive reactions. So I think this is a really good sign. What do you think, Brad?
Oh, man. Yeah. This had so much baggage going into it. Because you already have what we talked about. You have the DC haters. They're always going to hate no matter what. You have the added baggage of having Ezra Miller associated with that, who, you know, we could have a whole podcast about just him. So the fact that given all that baggage that it has this positive reaction, not only that, but people are saying it's the best superhero movie ever made. Well, I think we're definitely in for a good movie no matter what. I think for those reactions to come out of this, given everything that that movie has dealt with since it got announced, it's a very, very good sign. And as far as the forced humor and all that, look, you are going to have those haters, and you are going to have people that aren't going to be able to look past Ezra Miller. And yeah, honestly, I can't fault them for that. You know, that's a lot to get over. But I think it's safe to say, I can say pretty confidently, that this is going to be a really great superhero movie. What about you, Steve?
I echo everything you both said. It's what we've always come to expect from critics and fans around the world, Mr. Bond. So it's part and parcel for the whole business. What I'm happy about, though, is the fact that we're getting this amount of positive reactions for what seems to have been an unfinished cut of the film without the full final effects and everything else. So if we're getting these responses from an unfinished cut, that hopefully just means that the final product's going to be even better. And hey, I love the DC movies, even the bad ones. Whereas recently some of the offerings from our Marvelous competition have just been repetitive and leaving me a bit cold, apart from the odd occasional something new and brilliant like Miss Marvel or Shang-Chi, which I loved. But yeah, I can't wait. Flashpoint's one of my favourite stories. Barry Allen's one of my favourite characters. And I don't know if you know this, I also like Batman. So this film was made for me. That's all I can really say. And let's talk more, because a lot of the reactions are saying that this is a Flash film, and that was what I was afraid of. And being a Batman fan, I shouldn't be saying that. I should say, yeah, give me more Batman. But the fact that a lot of these reactions are saying this is still a Flash movie, the Flash is the heart and soul of the film, how are you two feeling about that? Does that rest some of the maybe worries you had about the film going in as well?
To me, it makes me even more excited to see it, because as I talked about the baggage, so not only do you have that bag, but you also have the fact that everybody loves Michael Keaton as Batman. Everybody's looking forward to seeing him again. So it'd be very easy to take that route and just give you so much Batman in that movie. But the fact that they're saying, no, that didn't happen, it's a Flash movie, that's a brave choice, I think. And that makes me even more intrigued to see it. And one other thing that I didn't talk about is I really love how a lot of the reactions are saying, oh, this is a very emotional movie, this has an emotional core, and I think that's really important, and I think that's what could push it from being a good movie into being a great superhero movie.
Yeah, I totally agree, and honestly, it's especially with the stuff with Ezra Miller, it would have been, I wouldn't have been shocked, and I probably wouldn't have been upset if they leaned really, really heavily on Batman, but I you know, and I do love Batman. I love, like, it. But I'm excited to see a movie that is more, you know, Flash is the central character. And I mean, Ezra Miller does love the character, so I don't doubt his ability to bring sort of that emotional gravity to it. You know, I guess just kind of watch him in the times when you're not filming, keep an eye on him. But other than that, I mean, it's, I think everything that I've heard so far really, really just adds to me being excited about this.
I'm praying it leads to a similar relation to the comic books, because comics fans know that one of the few people Bruce Wayne, Batman, respects out of everybody is Barry Allen, because he is a cop, he's a detective, he is a crime scene analyst, he is someone who lives to solve crimes. And the mutual respect there, I hope, follows through. And of course, they've got that huge bond in, like, the trailer really cleverly puts through, of losing a parent, but Flash has managed to bring them back. That huge emotional content, and if that's the heart and soul of the film and the story, above all the special effects and action and whatever else, then, like you said, Brad, it's going to elevate it from being a good, fun action film to being a great movie. And that's all we can hope for, and I'm feeling a lot more positive about it, for sure. Now let's move away briefly from The Fastest Man Alive and talk about one of Gotham's more deadly characters, and the fact that James Gunn, co-star from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, Karen Gillan of Doctor Who fame, would be very interested in playing Poison Ivy. I mean, made to measure, I believe. What do you think, Kelly?
I really loved her in Doctor Who. That was when I first started watching Doctor Who. She was, you know, the Amy Pond. She was the person, and she was just so sweet. And like, it's almost hard for me to wrap my head around her as Poison Ivy, but I know she'd do a really good job of it. I mean, she was good in Guardians of the Galaxy. I've never seen her do anything that she wasn't fabulous in. So I'm going to have to get used to her being, you know, not just like a blue kind of semi-villain, but, you know, a redheaded, you know, poison lipstick occasionally wearing, yeah, Harley Quinn best friend girlfriend. I'm into that. I'm into all of that. So I fully, fully support her being Poison Ivy. What about you, Brad?
Oh, yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. She's got the look. She's got the connections, because she is in Guardians of the Galaxy. She's got the talent. Now, yeah, I do think she was great in Doctor Who, but there was something about Nebula that I really loved her performance. Because had I not known going in that that was her, despite all the makeup, I wouldn't have known. I would have looked at the credits and, whoa, that was her. And anytime that happens, that makes me really respect that actor. And I think she does a great job as Nebula, and it's not like other roles she's played. So I think she could play the evil side, but also the sultry side. I think she'd make a great Poison Ivy. I think at this point she would be probably, I think, the most likely actress to play the role as of right now. So I think that makes total sense. What about you, Steve?
I 100%. Again, the hive mind is in full power and awesome effect tonight. She is, A, as you said, a talented actress. B, she looks the part. And finally having a redheaded person playing a redheaded character, has that ever even happened in the history of movies before? We had a blonde playing a redhead in the first Spider-Man movie and a redhead playing a Bond in the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. So what? Seriously? Just hire her. She can act. She's got the James Gunn connection. And she's different in everything she's in, like you said, with Nebula. She's proven she can go down the anti-hero route. She starts off pure villain. And by the end of the second movie, she's a part of the team. She can handle that different type of character. And that's exactly Poison Ivy. She starts off almost blatantly evil, but for her own cause. She wants to save the world from the greatest monster of all, that is humanity. So ideal casting, in my opinion. I mean, the fact that I'm a Doctor Who fan has nothing to do with it, because Amy Pond bears no resemblance to Nebula, bears no resemblance to her character in the Jumanji movies. The lady can act. That is the most important part of the story. So Warner Brothers, pay heed. That's what we think anyway. So let's take a look had another DC character who doesn't get enough love, even though he's had a hugely spectacularly well-received movie, Aquaman 2, and some descriptions of footage from CinemaCon. I wish we'd have actually seen the footage, because this was some of the worst written footage revelation I've ever read. But hey, it sounds intriguing. Kelly, what did you make of it?
Yeah, it was, I mean, a paragraph describing what's happening on screen. It didn't do a lot for me, because it was like he has a baby and he's talking to his dad, and then the lighthouse blows. Like, I can see what the person was trying to do. I imagine just like feverishly taking down notes as they're like watching this, you know, this footage. But I, you guys know how much I love Jason Momoa. Like, I am going to see this movie. I'm going to support it. He's the best Aquaman ever. I mean, I don't really remember any other Aquamans. It's always been him. At least, you know, at least for me. You know, and there's the semi kind of niche of Amber Heard, but that's like neither here nor there at this point. It's more just like, didn't love seeing that trial. That sucked. But, you know, it's Aquaman and it's Jason Momoa, so that outrides it for me. I'm just really hoping. I didn't see anything that stood out to me in that description, at least, that sounded like totally different from what they've done with Aquaman before. I mean, it is kind of like, you know, there's a world-ending ancient threat kind of thing. Like, there wasn't anything that sounded extremely nuanced about it to me. But again, it's very hard to get an impression from, you know, somebody's notes on seeing footage of an unfinished movie. So I'm probably going to see it, most likely. What about you, Red?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely see it. You know, I got the same impression. Like, oh, this feels like stuff we've seen before. Like, okay. But I do like the center stage that Black Manta has come into, according to this footage. He seems like he's going to be a pretty formidable villain, and that I'd like to see. So that gave me hope. And, yeah, you know, I'll see it. This was probably... I can't recall if they said how long the footage was, but it was probably a real quick cut. So, you know, hopefully as we see a trailer, which we should see relatively soon since the movie's coming out in December, we'll get more of a clear picture and hopefully it gives us something a little more fresh. But yeah, I'll definitely see it. What about you, Steve?
Love the first one. Love the whole way it married action, high thrills, and Indiana Jones vibe, and superheroics. The stuff in Atlantis and all the creatures was wonderful. If they can build on that, it's fantastic. But to say, to follow on something you said, Brad, for me, growing up, the main villain I always loved above Orm, above Ocean Master, was Black Manta. And the way he was portrayed in the first Aquaman movie, where at first he was just tossed aside, but every time he appeared throughout the course of that first film, he became more and more dangerous, bringing him up to being the movie level threat that he's going to be in the sequel. I am really happy about that, and he's played by a wonderful actor, so bring it on. I mean, I know certain old school fans whom we're very well acquainted with may not like this interpretation of Aquaman. I am a big fan of Broseidon, King of the Brocean, so give me more Jason Momoa, good on you. Now, let's move on to what we always know delivers, and that's the DC animated universe. And the fact that it looks like we're getting Justice League, War World, Monsters, Mongol, Battles. Oh my. Kelly, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really want this to be just a totally like badass fight sequence movie. Like, this movie can be so good if they just, I mean, and DC's never really disappointed with the animated movies, so I'm confident in it, but just really if they take their time with the fight sequences, choreograph them really interestingly. I mean, this is like classic DC stuff, and I remember there were, I don't know if it was this specifically, but there were episodes similar to this in the animated Justice League series that was out when I was a kid, and it's always so fun to see heroes just picked up and dropped somewhere else, and it's like, all right, fight for your lives. And usually there's always some, like, you know, kind of backstory where so-and-so and so-and-so aren't getting along right before they get dropped there, and they work everything out through fighting monsters, and I am so here for that. Like, I am very, very ready for that. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, and the cast has some pretty big names. Jensen Ackles, Troy Baker, Darren Criss, which is really nice to see. But man, one thing that jumped out at me is that we're getting a Jonah Hex and a Batlash. That's going to be fun. So that's what jumped out to me at this story. I mean, the voice cast sounds great. And I think that we've seen these voice actors do these characters before in a certain way. I mean, Troy Baker, of course. So it's nice to see them returning, staying in the DC fold. But I'm excited that we're going to get to see Jonah Hex and Batlash in fighting with or against, the Trinity. So that'll be fun to watch. What about you, Steve?
You both pull the thoughts out of my mind and the words out of my lips. It's like we're one. Everything you said, this cast, the fact it's going to be an all-out action flick, but with people like Jonah Hex and Batlash coming in, I get like a Predator vibe as well, because where they visited the Earth for centuries and fought the greatest warriors. And this time it feels like they've been plucked not just from Earth of now, but they've gone out through history to get the greatest warriors from every time period. And if that's what they're doing with the film, awesome. I mean, Troy Baker, like Tara Strong, is one of these actors, can do 8 million things with his voice. So I will watch anything with that guy's name attached to it. And Jensen Ackles, I'm a huge Supernatural nerd. So as soon as he got cast as Batman in the two long Halloween movies, I thought, finally, the biggest bat nerd after me who's famous. Awesome. And he's carrying on in the role. Brilliant. I hope he goes on to have a career. He'll never match Kevin Conroy, but hey, he can try, and I'm there for it. So this project's got my name written all over it. Really looking forward to it. Absolutely. So that's all our big screen news. So let's go down to our 40-inch LED widescreen 4K TVs, and let's talk about the fact that Amazon hasn't just got their hands on Batman Caped Crusader. They've got Merry Little Christmas and another Batman animated project following on from that one. Kelly, what are your thoughts?
I'm really glad that Amazon Prime has these. I feel like HBO Max is slowly becoming my arch nemesis of streaming services, because it glitches more often than any of my other streaming services, but they get rid of all of their stuff.
At least you've got it.
Oh, right. So wait, but you have Amazon Prime, right? Like, that's gonna, okay, good. So, but see, now more people can get it. And I feel like Amazon Prime is kind of, I watched a whole show on there about a plastic croissant. Like, they don't get rid of their stuff. You can kind of bank on that. It's going to be there. It's going to be accessible for a long time. And I mean, it's definitely weird to see Mary and Batman kind of used in the same context, but it looks kind of zany. It looks kind of weird. And I'm getting the sense that maybe this is, I don't know. I've never seen anything like this before. So I am going to check it out. And also totally for DC shopping their stuff out to more streaming services. I mean, screw HBO Max, honestly. They're the worst. What about you, Brad?
I definitely agree. I think it's great that DC can shop these shows around, because if they couldn't and we were forced to have them on Max, then chances are they would get canceled outright, the way things have been. So I'd rather have another option as a place to watch them than have them be gone forever. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah, more networks, the better. They want to put like the Vertigo stuff or the Sandman stuff that is on Netflix. God, I would love to see them bring back Why the Last Man on Netflix. It's a shame that show got canceled after one season. That story is so amazing. It was not given the chance that it needed or deserved. So yeah, the more networks, the better. And I think, Steve, you being a Batman fan, you can agree that I'd much rather see it than have it be canceled. So yeah, absolutely. So what about you, Steve?
Not just it might be cancelled, the fact that I can actually see it because I can get Prime in the UK. HBO Max never launched here. I mean, I'm just still think they did a bad move by killing DC Universe as a streaming network, because it was purely DC and that's where these shows belonged. But we never got that here. We've got the DC Universe Infinite Comic version, which I'm loving. I use it every single day, and it's brilliant. But I would have loved a DC TV network, because they've got enough content to fill it with the decades worth of movies and TV shows. Hey, I'd love to see the old 70s Wonder Woman, 60s Batman, and even the Shazam show that we never got in the UK, so I could see that. But the fact that Prime's getting it is ace. Caped Crusader, when they said it might be cancelled, I was really upset. A Matt Reeves animated series with Alan Burnett and Paul Dini, come on, we need this. Batman the animated series, I don't have to tell you how much I love that show. I make a podcast about it every week, for Jiminy's sake. So we need this. So the fact we're also getting Merry Little Batman, with Damian becoming mini Batman, Little Batman, not just Robin, and that's going to lead into a TV show, Batman Family. Let's talk about that, Kelly.
Oh, that sounds so fun. I mean, even just the concept, because Damian's such an angsty little nugget. I love him. So the concept of him being tiny Batman, like, I'm so excited for that. That sounds amazing. And I have confidence that if this goes to, you know, a full-length series after that special, and it's on Amazon Prime, we're going to get to see at least, you know, a just portion of it to get to decide if this is, like, a new look for Batman. Because I mean... Tiny Batman sounds, yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing that come to comics if this goes well. I'm into it. What about you, Brad?
Batman is by far the most popular superhero out there. Can't even compare. The closest after him would maybe be Spider-Man. The reason is because of the supporting cast as well. I mean, you have Batman shows where there's not even any Batman in it. You had Gotham, and now you have Gotham Knights. That's how strong the supporting cast is. So why not have a Batman Family show where you can bring in all these characters? Not that you couldn't in a regular Batman, but making it the focus of the idea of family. I'm surprised that it's taken this long for that to happen. What about you, Steve?
Totally agree. I mean, one of the best comic books out there isn't even a comic book. It's Webtoons Batman Family Adventures. If you guys haven't read that, subscribe to Webtoons. I promise you, you will devour all 60 episodes in one sitting, because it is great. As soon as you see Bruce Wayne with a mug saying "World's Okayest Dad," you know they're doing something right. And if that's the tone of the Batman Family show, I'm all over it. Totally all over it. And the fact, like you said, Brad, that they can tell every kind of story. That's why Batman is the most popular character too. The best supporting cast, bar none. And the fact that the character will mold and change with the times, be a detective, be an Avenger, be a warrior, be a human being. That's why I love the character. And hey, people out there must love him too, because not only are these shows going to Prime, but Batman Caped Crusader has got a 2-season order off the bat. That's got me mega pumped. What about you two, Kelly?
Yes. I mean, Batman Caped Crusader as a whole seems like the closest we're ever going to get to having Batman the Animated Series back. And I mean, like you said, Steve, that show is like the pinnacle of Batman in any... Batman off the page, the pinnacle of it is that series. I mean, hands down. And 2 seasons gives me a lot of confidence, because it's like, Brad, like you mentioned earlier, shows that run for 1 season and you think it has legs and you're really excited about it and then it stops. It just, like, it crushes a little piece of your soul. So 2 seasons means that at the very least, we're going to get time to flesh out what they're trying to do. We're going to get some story building and not just, oh, this got good and then, oh, this is over. So I'm very excited about that. What about you, Brad?
Oh, yeah. It may not be a sequel, but it is definitely a spiritual successor to Batman the Animated Series. And I think that alone, Kelly, you said the magic word, confidence. I think that gives Amazon confidence to know that they've got something on their hands, that they can stretch this out over more than 1 season. And, the team behind it, like you mentioned, Steve, why would you not expect something great to come from that? You know, I I have not seen every episode of Batman animated series, but I definitely will watch. And I will get to that eventually, but I definitely will watch both seasons of this show. Absolutely. Well, what about you, Steve?
You said it already. Alan Burnett, Matt Reeves, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini. When have those talents ever let us down? Batman the Animated Series, Batman the New Adventures, Justice League Unlimited, Batman Beyond. Every single series of those stories was phenomenal. Just sign me up. I'm there. I'm there watching with my eyes glued to the set, just as I did with Batman the Animated Series, and again, watching the show with Adam and making our podcast about it. This gives our show more legs too. We can keep making podcasts until the end of time. So let's finish our TV with a Flicky Fashion Spotlight. Let's look at Jordan Kent's first superhero costume, as we will see on Superman and Lois. Brad, let's go to you first. What do you think of this cool harkening back to the comic books?
I think it's cool. And it harked back to a really cool comic, the Superman Relative Alien. And it's a great idea. It feels authentic. It feels like he put it together out of things that he could find. It's a perfect mix of the comic and what they could bring into reality and in the real world. And I mean real world. Our real world, not the real world of the show, but the real world, meaning that it's something that if somebody was going to put together a costume, that's the kind of stuff that they would find. So I think it makes sense. And it's a cool little Easter egg for those people that did read the comic and are into the comics. And that's always fun. What about you, Kelly?
I love it. I love that little aviator helmet thing, the goggles. Like it's adorable in the most classic, like, just kid trying to figure out his first superhero costume kind of way. Like, it reminds me almost of when you see, in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's, his first costume when he comes out and tries to wrestle some guy. Like, there's something very innocent and cheerful about it. And I don't recognize it from the comic, but just, the aviator goggles, and if anything, that's a pretty smart costume in terms of hiding your identity, because some of those other costumes, I've said this a lot, but like if I do this, my family's not going to suddenly not recognize me. But an aviator helmet and, you know, that I like that. It's a good plan. I think it looks really adorable. What do you think, Steve?
Who's Steve? Where's he gone? Steve? Brilliant. It's a great disguise. It's exactly the kind of thing a teenager would put together if they wanted to become a superhero. Love it. And Superman and Lois, let's be fair here. Even though the Arrowverse seems to be coming an end, this series has still got legs. This series is running and this series is doing really well. Marrying different tones, different styles, seeing Superman himself progress from costume to costume and now being a family man, married with children. Winner. I love it. And the fact that the people who make this show clearly do read the comics, that to me just thinks, oh, finally. Because we've seen some adaptations in the past and thought, what? Who? Why? Not this time. This time I'm very, very happy. So that leads us to the end of TV. So let's talk about the thing we all love more than anything else, and that's comics. And this makes me so happy. Being a 90s comics fan and reading Justice League International, Power Girl, Fire and Ice, their own books, I'm so happy. Kelly, what about you?
I'm absolutely going to read these. I guess back in February, I covered the Harley Quinn Valentine's Day book, and there was a story for Fire and Ice, and I loved it. It was, if I'm not mistaken, they were on the superhero version of Tinder, and it was a little bit silly and a little bit like, well, why would they put their locations on an app? But still, it was a jaunty good time, and I loved it. And before that, I only ever really saw them in Justice League Unlimited, I think, when I was a kid. So these are still relatively new superheroes to me, which is nuts, because as much superhero content as I consume on a regular basis, and I mean, these are, you know, clearly really cool female superheroes, and I've just never really Fire and Ice specifically, I've never really gotten into them, so I'm excited for that. And Power Girl, I do love Power Girl too. I've read a bit more of her. I feel like as a kid, I could never get behind the costume. I didn't understand the boob window. Didn't to this day, I still would be like, that's the least likely thing I would ever wear in a situation where I'm running and jumping and doing, you know, activities. But yeah, I'm gonna read like all of this. This is going to be a great series. What about you, Brad?
To quote Kite Man, hell yeah. Steve, I'm with you. That Justice League International is right up there with me in the 80s when I first started collecting comics with Chris Claremont's X-Men, Larry Hama's G.I. Joe. I mean, it is right
absolutely
up there. I'm surprised it doesn't get mentioned as much. And it does have a respect. I mean, it, you know, obviously they're still printing books and the series gets reprinted pretty often, but that was my first exposure to really good character development and really good character interplay. Something that you would see later on in things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I just really responded well to that. And I loved it. So the fact that they're bringing those characters back. Yeah, Kelly, I'm going to be there for all of it for sure. What about you, Steve?
When I was reading Human Target, seeing Ice in there, I thought, oh, please let these characters have a renaissance because they're fabulous. And they were some of the first female characters that acted like women, even though they were still written by men. At least these were men that understood and gave a damn, because these women give the men hell and they damn well deserved it. And it was brilliant. Kelly, if you've never read Justice League International, try and pick up a collected edition, because you'll get action, you'll get humor, you'll get laughs, and like Brad said, some of the finest pieces of character writing you'll ever see. It's led to these series, and I'm so happy. Power Girl's new costume, Brad, you must have thoughts on that, with the Superman S on the jacket. And I love the iconic classic Fire and Ice costumes, and the fact they got rid of their early 70s names of Green Flame and Ice Maiden and just called them Fire and Ice. You must have some thoughts about that as well.
Well, I love the idea of the S, because Power Girl is kind of accepting her true destiny or who she really is, and I think that's a great little tribute to that. I like it when a costume can reflect what's going on in the character's inner life in a way, because you know, on the comics page, that's really a really powerful way to get into the character, is to see their costume. So yeah, I think that's really cool. And I agree with you that I'm glad that they stuck to the iconic look of the characters. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, I might be misremembering this, but I vaguely think there was an episode of maybe Justice League Unlimited where Power Girl was super into the whole, I'm not a super, like, I have nothing to do with Superman. I'm not a Superman person. I'm not part of that team. I have nothing to do with Supergirl. And so, yeah, I like her rocking the S. I mean, it's, and really any update to her costume I'm happy with, honestly. But, and Fire and Ice's costumes I've always loved. Especially, I mean, the green on green doesn't work for a lot of people, but it works in that context. She looks great in green on green. So I like what they're doing right now. I'm into it.
Excellent. And it's not only those lovely ladies that are getting their own series. Oh, no. After a fantastic miniseries in English and in Spanish, I'm so happy. Jaime Reyes, Blue Beetle, ongoing series. In time for the movie? Was this clever marketing, or is this just good things happening to good people? Kelly, your thoughts?
They might actually be marketing right now. That might be the thing. They might be marketing correctly. That it's almost too perfect timing. And I love Blue Beetle. He's every time I've seen him in anything, read him in anything, he's just adorable, because somehow he manages to keep that sort of wide-eyed, childlike enthusiasm, almost somewhat similar to Beast Boy, but not exactly. But he's just a very refreshing character wherever he shows up. And I didn't get to read the miniseries, so something ongoing, it's a lot more likely that I'm going to pick this up because it'll be on the shelves longer. And yeah, I'm going to read that as well. And honestly, I'm very wary with reboots usually, but so far all of these reboots that they've announced I'm into, because it's character. It's not like we're doing, you know, I don't know. It's, they're characters that I think deserve a little extra spotlight. They've deserved an ongoing series. It's characters that needed the attention. So yeah, I'm absolutely going to pick this up. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved his original series. I'm glad to see him coming back. And yeah, you know what? It's marketing for sure. But you know what? Who cares? The creative team's going to be good. The book is going to be good. Like I always say, it's a good time to be a DC fan. And a lot of that is because of the book that they are printing. Why wouldn't this be just as good? You know, so I'm looking forward to it. I still have to pick up that collected edition that they had out not too long ago of the original series, or at least I think it was maybe volume one, maybe not the whole thing, but I'm looking forward to rereading that and rereading this new one. I think it makes perfect sense. And anything that, if a kid goes in to see Blue Beetle, and I want to know more about this character, if that kid goes into a comic shop and finds a Blue Beetle comic and that gets him into comics, it's a win-win for everybody. What about you, Steve?
Exactly what I was going to say. If it gets people reading, because Blue Beetle is, he's like the perfect hybrid of a Spider-Man, Iron Man, and throwing in the Latinx heritage, and the fact that he's Charlton's legacy character on a level with Flash and Green Lantern. I mean, let's talk about Dan Garrett in the Golden Age, then Ted Kord, the second Blue Beetle, and now Jaime. To me, it just means that this is a character with so much history that it can bring readers on. And some of them might only read the news stories, but some of them might think, oh, hang on, there were Blue Beetles before this guy, and want to find out about that. So it's an open door. It's a gateway, like Adam West was to me and Batman the Animated Series was to millions around the world. So bring it on. Fantastic. Really, really happy about that. Now, something else. We've talked about Power Girl. We've talked about Jordan Kent. Let's talk about Oliver Queen's really cool new costume. And again, I'll start with Brad on this. Oh, King of Couture, your thoughts on Oliver Queen?
I really like this costume. I think we're at a space with superhero costumes where it's a good interplay between movies and TV and what they show in the comic. Because I could see this, if they were to release a Green Arrow movie, I could see the Green Arrow costume being really influenced by this. I could see this on a big screen or a little screen. And I like it. I always like it. I appreciate when a costume feels practical, like it could really work. And that's another thing I like about this. So yeah, it's got my stamp of approval. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I like this too. It has this very like post-apocalyptic kind of edge to it. And like you said, practical, like the metal sort of plating is, that would actually kind of serve as armor. That's going to do a lot more protection than tights and a cape. Like this is, if Robin Hood could have had this back in the day, that probably would have saved him a lot of trouble. Yeah, I like it. I really like rugged Oliver Queen. It's a good look for him. Oh, and I like that bow too. I don't know if they've been doing that for a bit or if that's new, but with the little like laser looking bow string, that's a cool touch. I hope it like kind of makes them arc with like a little green like line behind them. That'd be amazing. What about you, Steve?
As you both said, it's been a long time since we've seen Oliver Queen. The focus beyond his skills as an archer, not since the 90s, since Mike Grell had the series, and he actually went from using trick arrows and boxing glove arrows and all that nonsense to just using a compound bow with arrows. Now we've got that back with a laser targeting system. Dude, it just makes sense, as does the costume. Batman's armored up to the nines. Why? He's got no superpowers, people. Oliver Queen needs armor. Why? Because he's got no superpowers, people. This makes sense. And it looks sweet. Love it. Logic, good storytelling, brilliant design. It's got the Brad Filicki stamp of approval, people. That's better than the Comics Code Authority. Take that to the bank. Now, we're all Tom King fans here. But what do you think of the fact for his original idea? Because let's remember, Dick Grayson got shot in the head in the pages of Batman. And then they moved that story to Nightwing from issue 50. And ignoring the horrible inaccuracies in this article, I don't know who wrote this, but they need to check their facts because they're all wrong. What do you make of this alternative take of what could have happened if Tom King had been writing Nightwing's story when he became Rick Grayson? Kelly, your thoughts?
I mean, It's Tom King. I probably would have liked it anyway. He's a good writer. He knows how to execute the stories put in front of him well. I mean, for the sake of Tom King, I probably would have picked it up. And if anything, I don't know. He's one of those people that I'm sort of like, I feel like you can just give him the ball and let him run with it. So if anything, I'm maybe a little disappointed that it's canceled, but I would have checked it out. I don't know if I would have continued checking it out, but I would have at least given it that initial look. What about you, Brad?
I trust in Tom King. So, and you know, I trust where he's going to go. Even if maybe it wouldn't be an idea that I liked at the time, I would want to see his take on it, because I know that he would take it in very interesting places. So it's not that I think that I can't think critically, but I think once Tom King's name is associated with it, it's like, I trust this ride I'm going to go on. What about you, Steve?
It would have been a nice thing to see the whole dynamic that he talks about with Tim. I do still think that Tim Drake is horrifically underused and a wonderful Robin, and to see him take on the Nightwing mantle for a bit. But in some ways, I also think that would have belittled Tim's character a bit, because Tim is his own Robin and his own man in his own way. And Nightwing, for me, will always be Dick Grayson. So I would have liked to see the dynamic, but I don't know if I would have agreed with that. And I'm one of the few people who actually really enjoyed the whole Rick Grayson arc, and the fact that everyone went nuts about it when it wasn't going to be permanent, and it was never going to be permanent, especially with Nightwing 75 a couple of years away. It was only going to be for a year or two until Dick Grayson came back. But the Rick Grayson persona didn't want to be a superhero, didn't have the tragic history, wasn't raised by Batman in his own mind because those memories were gone. But he still did the right thing every time. And it just proved what we all know about Dick Grayson. This guy was born to be a hero. Whether he was raised in that way or not, he cares. He is the living, beating heart of the DC universe. So to me, even though people poo-pooed the whole Rick Grayson era, I thought the stories were fascinating, and they proved what everyone knows, that Dick Grayson is a great hero from the heart, from the soul, from inside, not just because he was trained by Batman. And when he did come back, which we knew he was going to, he came back better than he's ever been. I mean, Tom Taylor's run, wow. Arguably the best ongoing superhero book on the shelf. So yeah, I would have liked to have seen some of the Tim dynamic, but I'm perfectly happy with the way the series came out. And hey, that's what Elseworlds are for. There's always a time for these stories to come out, and we need Elseworlds comics, especially now that we're getting a multiverse in the movies. That's all I'm going to say about that. Hopefully DC is listening. So that's the end of our comics news, but as always, we have a little treat waiting in the wings, and this one's also very Brad based, because I don't know how games focused you are, Kelly, but if you've got some ideas on this, because to me, I'm just baffled. I was reading this and I went boss-eyed. So talk to me about this update on the Gotham Knights game. Kelly, your thoughts.
So I, within the last year, actually started playing some video games. Not Gotham Knights, but I kind of understand. I believe I understand what they're talking about, which basically, you know, you get the game, you play the original game through, and then they send an update and you get to do new stuff inside the game. So having not played Gotham Knights, I can't really say that I'm particularly excited about it, though I know that game updates are usually exciting. They're usually a lot of fun. You know, they kind of get to play with new content, but I definitely think Brad's probably the better authority on this. So, Brad?
For me personally, the idea of adding another raid doesn't really do much for me, because a raid, but it's great for the people that love the multiplayer aspect of this game. They will love it. Raids are what you get together and like strategize with your friends. How are we going to do this? It's like a big, almost like a big boss fight, but like a big mission that's not easy. I don't know if you remember the Leroy Jenkins video, that meme, but that all went down with players that were trying to do a raid. So I think that the multiplayer fans of this game will love the idea of a new raid. I know that with a game like Destiny, when there's a new raid, people go nuts because it's a new challenge. So I think that, yeah, I think that the fans of that part of the game are going to love it. But me, I'm into the single player, which me and Seth have been talking about the last couple of weeks. I love the single player aspect of games. So this, for me, doesn't do much, but I think that I think the fans of the multiplayer games are just going to absolutely love it. I think it is, it's adding a new raid, a pretty big update. So I'm sure that fans of the game are just foaming at the mouth to get ready for it. What about you, Steve?
Well, now you've explained it a bit, as always, Brad. Thank you. Wonderful. So I take it then this whole raid thing is, I mean, is it as self-explanatory as like the Raid movie or the Judge Dredd movie, where it's like one hero goes into a massive scenario, hopelessly outnumbered, and fights his way through? Well, is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But it's more, it's not just one person. It's you get together with your friends and we're going to go in and we're going to try to do this. So you go in, you get beat, and then you say, okay, this is what we know, that this is going to happen. So you've got to go here, you've got to go here, and I'll go here. And you strategize and you keep at it, and then you get that real sense of accomplishment when you do finish the mission. But it's definitely cooperative. It's definitely something that takes some planning and strategy.
Okay. You're right.
The Raid movie. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you go. That, my friends, dear listeners, dear viewers, is why we have the king of couture and gaming, Brad Filicki, who is also a Bond villain on his weekends. And that's it.
That brings us.
Can you not see him stroking his
I can actually see the Bond villain. I see it
except for one problematic flaw of Brad being a villain is he's just a damn nice guy. He couldn't be a villain if he too wanted good. To too but good. He did definitely play the part. There you go. If DC, if you're casting for a villain, the man and his cat are right here for you.
I can't leave cat me and meow if I don't pick him up. So I thought, well, let me.
Believe me, sir, I have one of my own. Luckily, she's just in her own box in the corner right now, behaving herself.
I thought you were throwing a baseball. That's a cat.
Okay, that's one dirty, dirty baseball. Has it been roaming around in marmalade?
Doing like the hand catch thing that people do.
And that's an extra treat for the YouTube viewers. People listening at home are thinking, what are they talking about? So that's the reason. Get your YouTube subscription. Watch the DC Comics News Weekly podcast. That's been episode 174. You can catch us on YouTube, on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can catch DC Comics News, Dark Knight News, and our sister site, Fantastic Universe, is on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, Facebook. You name it, we're there. DC Comics News, DKNews.com. And look for us, listen to us. You can catch us absolutely everywhere you find yummy nerdy goodness. For example, Kelly, where can our viewers and listeners read your work and talk to you?
So you can read my work on DC Comics News. I've been doing reviews lately, a little less editorial, but I've been reviewing books. It's been fun. So if you want to know what I think of things, that would be where. And then I do have a Twitter. It's Kel Gaines Wright. So you can tweet me and maybe I'll check Twitter and look. I might not, but I might, and that's the fun of it. Brad, what about you?
You can find me writing news reviews, DC Comics News. You can find me on this podcast as well as, and I always say this every week because I want to get back into it, the Mad Love Harley Quinn podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at FlickyB1. And what about you, Steve?
As for me, go to Google, type in Steve, Jay, Ray, or Fantastic Universes to read my news reviews, features, and interviews across Fantastic Universes, Dark Knight News, and of course, DC Comics News as well. And to speak to me, please do. I actually do go on Twitter and I do respond at LSTEVO, LSTEEVO. But until you do, the universe is waiting for you. Filicki Fashions is waiting for you. Kelly and her wall full of comic book art is waiting for you. And I am waiting for you with snacks. So until next time, the one thing you must always remember to do is
read
more
comics. We shall return.